From the Arts Center in Carrboro, this is Claudio Speakeasy and Radio Theater, a program that has fascinating guests, lively talk and conversation, community news, storytelling, and a look at our local entertainment scene. Now here's Claudio.
Good morning, everyone, and thank you for tuning us in wherever you're catching the act from, whether on podcast or listening right now. Rocco, great opening to a show, man.
Claudio, always great to see you.
Thanks, likewise.
You have a high-powered guest this morning.
Yes, Claudio. We do. He has actually been on my show before when Audrey was co-hosting. This is Ronnie Brown. He is bluegrass musician, singer, songwriter, entertainer, actually from my current hometown of Broadway, North Carolina. And he's got a business there called BMF Tool and Die. So he's a Tool and Die man. I was actually raised by a Tool and Die family. So interesting that we met. Good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Good having you on again. And I thought we might start the morning by introducing you by way of your art first. So we're going to catch a tune on the new album that you're building, and then we'll get into more of this. Again, thank you for tuning us in. This is Claudio Speakeasy and Radio Theater.
I've been walking all day and I'm nearly done. I can see by your gravestone you were only 19 when you joined the great ball of 1916. I hope you died quick and I hope you died clean. Young Willie McBride, was it slow and obscene? Did they beat the drum slowly? Did they play the pipe slowly? Did the sound of death march as it lowered you down? Did the band play the last waltz and chorus? Did the pipes play the flowers of the drum slowly? Did they play the pipe slowly? Did the sound of death march as it lowered you down? Did the band play the last waltz and chorus? Did the pipes play the flowers of the drum slowly? Did they play the pipe slowly? Did the sound of death march as it lowered you down? Did the band play the last waltzing chorus? Did the pipes play the flowers of the
You're tuned to your community radio station, 103.5 FM, WCOMLP, Chapel Hill and Carrboro.
Claudio Speakeasy and Radio Theater. Remember, you're listening to 103.5 FM, community radio for Chapel Hill and Carrboro, WCOM. Thank you so much for making us a part of your morning. Now back to Claudio.
And what you just heard was Ronnie Brown himself, whom I have in the studio this morning. Ronnie, give us the title of that tune, and let's talk about it just a little bit.
Well, the title of it is Willie McBride. It was written by an Australian named Eric Bogle. I found it on the Internet, and I liked the words, and I thought, well, that would be good to do it bluegrass style.
See if we can jazz it up a little, I'm sure.
So,
it sounded good. It's sort of a cross between bluegrass and folk, but you've definitely got it in the, what I would say, the bluegrass momentum.
Right, yeah. Yeah, it was done quite different than the way I'm doing it, but...
No, I like the way it jumps out. I like the language, and I just like the whole feel of it. What got you into this musical genre? I know you've been on before, but there are a lot of people listening this time that have not necessarily heard you. So,
well, I don't know. I grew up in the 50s, and I listened to rock and roll like everybody else to begin with, and then I heard some bluegrass music, and I liked it, and I wanted to play it. So I've been doing it for a lot of years now.
Was it because it was sort of a combination between country and rock, or what was the lure that had more of a pull on you than rock and roll?
Well, I don't know. I liked it mostly because it was fast, and I just liked everything. But I liked the instruments. I loved the banjo, the sound of the banjo.
And you play one yourself?
I did. I play mostly the guitar now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Tell us a bit about your BMF Tool and Die Company, which is also a performance space, and you basically jam there with anybody that wants to come and jam every Monday night. And I know you've got at least 40 to 50 people in attendance. You've become sort of a Broadway tradition.
Well, we went there in 1984, and we've been playing music there ever since.
What started it? I mean, you think of a tool and die company, you must have somehow had to break some ice to get a jam session going.
Well, see, I played music, and it was a good place to play. We'd get in the back of the building and play, and it sort of went from there. We now have microphones and monitors and speakers, everything we need to put on a pretty good show.
Fantastic. I think we just have Becky joining us. She's got her own bluegrass show, I do believe. Hey, Becky.
Hello.
She heard I was bringing a bluegrass maestro on, and she wanted to be part of the action, so Becky's in the studio. And we'll just have to pass that one microphone back and forth. Feel free to become part of this.
I appreciate it.
So what's inspired some of the... You're putting together a whole new album. You're going in a totally new direction a little later on. As we go through the day, we're going to play cuts on your former album, Here It Is, holding bluegrass on the cover. But... what's the inspiration at this point, and what's got you going in a bit of a different direction?
Well, the difference is I'm trying to write these songs. So, but before, I always did somebody else's music. So this is quite different. I never know how the songs are going to come out when I start writing. So,
you determine the genre as you proceed in creating the piece.
Yes.
So I can definitely sense a bluegrass influence overall, but I can see it maybe going in more of a folk or ballad type direction.
It could. I don't really know.
Yeah. Well, I tell you what, let's listen to one more, and then we'll keep on talking, and we can set ourselves up for the continuing conversation with Ronnie Brown. His past album was Here It Is, holding bluegrass on the cover, which I thought was a pretty unique little idea. And the new one coming up, do we have a title for the new album yet, or right now it's just sort of a work in progress?
Work in progress right now.
Okay.
Yes.
Well, what's the tune we're about to hear?
The next one is Here in the Future. Things are strange here in the future.
Things are strange here in the future. Boy, are they.
103.5 WCOM.
Falling down.
country store, I'd hear men talk about the war. They went and did what they had to do. They'd talk about the Depression era, CC camps and where they were, and hard times in 1932. When Saturday night would come around, we'd get in the car and go to town. Watch the cowboys on the silver screen. Tommy D would ride old Dan's paradise to see Miss Ann, prettiest woman that I've ever seen. Things you're a stranger in the future. The mules are gone and the barn has fallen down. There's an air conditioner on the tractor, and old friends are hard.
Duty, freedom, country, family. They're the values that make America strong and what our armed forces are fighting to defend.
While many talk about these ideals without action, they are just empty words.
If you think America's military families deserve more, log on to thanksusa.org. It's a great way to thank our troops and give military families the gift of education.
thanksusa.org. Scholarships for America's military families. You can make a difference.
Claudio and Rocco with you this morning. You know, WCOM is a special station. Nothing like it in the Triangle area. And we have many special people and special shows that make it all work. So stay with us and continue to support us. We are WCOM, Community Radio for Chapel Hill and Carrboro. Now back to Claudio.
And back to Bluegrass. That was Ronnie Brown once again. And I'm going to let Becky take the mic here for a minute. She is Mrs. Bluegrass, has her own show under that name on Wednesdays. What time?
Yes, Wednesday. Wednesdays from 2 to 4.
PM. Wednesdays from 2 to 4.
And yeah, right here in WCOM.
I imagine she's going to try twisting Ronnie's arm to be on her show. But feel free to ask Ronnie some questions if you want to alight upon the moment.
Yeah, first of all, I'd just like to know a little bit about your background, Ronnie, and how you got interested in bluegrass music.
Well, like I say, I listened to rock and roll growing up in the 50s, and actually I heard the Osborne Brothers, and that really turned me on to bluegrass, and I decided, you know, I'd like to play this. So I bought a banjo, and I played that for maybe 30 years, and then now I pretty much play the guitar, but I've been doing it pretty much all along. So.
And he has his own business as a tool and die maker, which is not an easy task. I know that because my father is cut from the same dimensions.
Wow. Well, that's great. Was your family musical at all?
Yes, on my mother's side, they mostly did gospel music. They sang in quartets and so forth.
Right. So you were brought up with music coming up, like Saturday nights. Did you listen into the Grand Ole Opry?
Oh, yes.
Of course.
I can see that.
I always enjoyed that.
Before we continue much further, give us a little scoop on your background, Becky, and your whole bluegrass interests.
Well, thank you, Claudio. First of all, it's really an honor to be here today. And I wanted to say that I guess I was smitten by bluegrass music when I was 6 years old.
Goodness.
No, I'm sorry, 5 years old. And the Andy Griffith Show premiered on TV. And I'm from Boston, Mass, which is really not a hotbed of bluegrass music.
No.
No, but we had a lot of, you know, notable musicians come from that part of
no
the world.
Doubt. Yes.
So that really charted my course. So, Andy, if you're listening, I'm living the dream.
All right.
I appreciate it.
I want to give a quick announcement for my own hometown right now. Broadway Our Way is coming up. on April 20th. That'll be at 10 o'clock in the morning. It'll be on 100 Main Street in Broadway. Area code there is 27505 in case any of you got to map it out. Telephone number to call in case you're interested in finding out what's going on there is 919-258-9922. Lots of bands, good talent and performances. A street festival of arts and the artistic. Street dances begin at 7 p.m. That should be an interesting dimension. And also want to mention my underwriter, whom I may not forget, the Apex Arts Council. They've got all sorts of things coming up, and the president of the Arts Council will be on my show next week, President Bob Crowley. And I thought for the time being, since we're making this a Ronnie Brown music morning, let's go to another Ronnie Brown tune.
The river they would ride. From the bank, some would view a river boat passing through. They've all come and gone now to the other side. The mill would grind corn by the bottle little creek. The millstone is still here today. A pile of rocks lay on the ground where tavern used to be, a place where they would stop along the way. When travelers would come, the ferry would run. Slowly across the river they would ride. From the bank some would view a river boat passing through. They've all come and
WCOM, your voice in our community of Carborough and Chapel Hill. Back to Claudio now.
And here we are again. Ronnie, you and I took a hike, and you actually showed me the areas in Raven Rock out our way off Highway 421 where this inspiration came from, the actual site of what little remains of what the song you're singing about.
Yes, there was a ferry built across the Cape that's
Cape
Fear
River.
Cape Fear River, and in the 1700s, they built a road to shorten traffic from Raleigh to Fayetteville, and that's what the song's about.
What was it that first initiated that impulse in you? I mean, did you take a walk and notice this, or was it something you heard about?
Well, yes, I've been walking down there for some time now, and I've been knowing about it, mm-hmm. and I just was fascinated with it, and I thought maybe I could write a song about it. And
we took a good long hike, and I remember it being pretty impressive to see those old remains and imagine the rest of it, and the grooves that the carts or the horse and carriages of those days cut into the earth are still visible.
Yes, sure are.
Washed even deeper by the rain, so it made even more obvious in some respects. So,
Ronnie, I'd like to ask you a question, and Becky also. Have either of you ever met Lester Flatt or Earl Scruggs, or the group, both of them together, You have?
I met Lester Flatt, and then many years later was lucky to meet Mr. Earl Scruggs.
And Ronnie, you were saying you also met Lester Flatt and Earl Scruggs.
Yes, I sat down and talked with Earl Scruggs for about an hour one time until he had to put on another show, and it was very enjoyable. He was easy to talk to.
Well, I have a little story about both of them, and back in the early 60s, it was probably 1962 or 3, I can't remember, but I was working the show as a light man and sound man for the Flatt and Scruggs show that was being put on in Wright Auditorium in Greenville, North Carolina, on the campus.
So lucky.
And I got a chance to meet them before the show.
Cool.
In fact, that show, I believe, was in the gymnasium. It was not in Wright Auditorium. But they were telling the stage crew that the show that they were going to present that night was a warm-up show for the show they put on in Carnegie Hall in New York, two or three months later.
Wow.
And they were kind of getting the kinks out of it.
Yeah.
And it was really a huge event in Greenville. The place was jammed to have those two legendary bluegrass performers.
No doubt.
Standing
room only,
in
probably.
Greenville. And it really was a terrific show. And then, of course, they went to New York and they made the album of the Carnegie Hall show that became a legendary album. And they were just such fine gentlemen. They really were.
That's good to hear, because oftentimes when you work in the back of the show, you see the true nature of some of these people, and it's not always pleasant.
Well, I never forgot that show. It was that good, and they were so nice to everyone.
That's pretty cool.
Wow. That's why I love bluegrass music. That's the main reason. I mean, the line between the star and the fan becomes blurred, and we all become like one family.
Yeah, I can see that. And then I think it's more of a down-home sound, and I think has little humility in it.
Well, yes, and certainly we could all use some of that.
Mm-hmm. God, when I look at what's going on in the country music scene, it's like egos can't be big enough, huh?
Golly, I'm telling you. And it was really embarrassing to watch Blake Shelton on Jay Leno a couple of weeks ago. If I squirm in my own skin, in the privacy of my home, something ain't right.
Yeah, some of these guys have an ego that's going to prove awfully fragile one of these days.
Well, there's just nothing to back them up.
Not really.
There's just nothing underneath them.
I'm sad to say that, you know, and I'm not trying to discredit a whole genre here, but there's very little that actually seems to reach for the heart anymore.
Reaches for the wallet.
It's more what have you done for me lately in the spirit.
Yeah, and more distraction.
Mm-hmm. And then dynamic sound, and even the voices aren't always true. Sometimes they're manipulated through technology.
Yeah. May I tell a story of Lester Flatt?
Go ahead.
And it's really brief. But I had an out-of-body experience in my first Bluegrass Festival in 1977.
Have you come back yet?
No, I haven't.
Uh-oh.
I'm still out there somewhere floating. I don't know where I am.
I was wondering about that.
But it's all right. They know me out there. And I had become a manager, chief cook, and bottle washer for the Berkshire Mountains Bluegrass Festival. Hmm. My boyfriend at the time, his name was Roger. And we cooked food from scratch, had beef burgundy stew all 3 days, cooked a pig for the staff and performers the night before the festival. And Sunday morning, I cooked up a big batch of cornbread for Lester. And we had a bus that had a gas stove in it.
Wow.
And I made this big batch of cornbread.
That's a dangerous notion.
Yeah. You're the only ones on the whole site that had that. And, of course, it was... You know, the Jiffy cornbread, and I'm sorry to say it's sweet.
The reason that bus blew up is because she left the thing on broil.
Yeah.
And forgot about it.
So Sunday morning, I pull the pan out, go up onto the bus, bam, 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 knocked on the door. And Lester came stumbling out of the bus with nothing on but a hat, a string T-shirt, and a pair of boxers. But he had his hat.
Had his hat. You can leave your hat on.
Yeah, but he was very grateful and said, thank you, ma'am, and appreciate it, ma'am. That's something that blew me away.
I imagine that's an image you remember forever, yeah.
Yes, I do. Wish I'd had my camera.
The only thing I can remember that's a totally different subject here that's close to that is when, during my friendship with Marcel Marceau, that when I first met him,
wow.
I was actually working as a waiter on his table, wasn't doing my chef thing at the time, and just happened to realize who it was. He was performing at Memorial Auditorium.
and approached him and asked him if I could bring him a philosophical work I'd written, because I felt we shared a lot in common spiritually. And he said, yeah, gave me his room number, and I went there the next day looking for him, and I knocked on the door, and this short person in underwear and shaving cream all over his face comes to the door, and I said, yes, I'm looking for Marcel Marceau. And he looks at me and puts his hands in quotes and goes, speaking.
Wow.
So, conversation with Marcel Marceau in his underwear and shaving cream on his face in the doorway.
Wow.
But our friendship lasted for more than 20 years.
Isn't
that
great? We became
very close friends.
You know, that's the kind of connections that I've made over the years, and they last a lifetime. But, you know, and they're earned also.
Absolutely. That to me is the history behind the scenes.
Yeah.
Let's get back to Ronnie. He's just sitting here going, all right, this show just went somewhere.
I'm having a good time.
Oh, good. That's good. Well, tell us about the next tune, and this will be on your former album, not the one you're currently building. It's called Here It Is, in which he holds blue grass. And you said, what kind of grass was that?
Blue fescue.
Blue fescue. I guess it was spray-painted blue, whatever, but it looks really
actually
cool
I
in the picture.
Actually, I do have some. It looks just like that.
Oh, really? Interesting. Yeah. I was thinking, my first thought was, is this some kind of a pot plant, or what is this? Give us a scoop on the next tune he's playing on your
I think
album.
The next one he's playing is Bringing Mary Home. It's about a little girl that they think she's a ghost beside the road, and they picked her up and carried her home, and she kept showing up the next year. Somebody else kept carrying her home.
Yeah.
And what inspired you to take this on as a musical challenge?
Well, I didn't write this.
No, I mean to perform it.
And I really liked it, so.
You were just affected by it.
Yes, and I thought it would be nice to do it. So.
Give us a title again.
Bringing Mary Home.
Here's Ronnie Brown.
Driving down. Pale and quiet in the backseat all alone. I never will forget that night that I took Mary home. Pulled into the driveway. Got out to help her from the car, opened up the door. I just could not believe my eyes, the back seat was bare. I looked all around the car, but Mary wasn't there. The light shone from the porch, someone opened up the door. I asked about the little girl that I was looking for. The lady gently smiled and brushed the tear away. She said, it sure was nice of you to go out of your way. 13 years ago today, and a wreck just down the road. My darling Mary lost her life. How we miss her so. Thank you for your troubles and the kindness you have shown. You're the 13th one that it's been here, bringing Mary home.
You're tuned to 103.5 FM, WCOMLP, Chapel Hill, Carborough. Están escuchando a 103.FM, WCOMLP, Chapel Hill, Carborough. Thanks for listening to our station.
I'd like to tell you that your host, Claudio, is available as a poet with a one-man band for house concerts performing original and traditional literary readings. Claudio is well known as a classical poet and a master storyteller. His website is claudioarts.com. Back to Claudio.
Thank you, and that was Ronnie Brown. I like that haunting element of that of the girl, and apparently it's quite well known, this legend.
Oh, yes, yes. I think this really happened in South Carolina.
Yeah. Wouldn't surprise me at all. Based on a true story. Let's go a little bit into some of your jam sessions that take place at the legendary BMF Tool and Die in Broadway. You've had people walking in that are part of the Charlie Daniels band, that are part of the band of... the folks that did Oh Brother Where Art Thou, the soundtrack to that.
Ralph Stanley.
Ralph Stanley and so on.
Oh, Dr.
Let's,
Ralph.
Let's drop some names here so folks out there can be impressed with what's going on totally behind the scenes.
Well, Russell Palmer plays bass with us, and he's the one that got Charlie Daniels started. He had a guitar, and he showed Charlie a couple of chords on it, and
boy,
I guess Charlie really liked it.
See what you've done!
Yeah.
You know, I really enjoyed that day that you took me out, you and a couple of friends of yours took me out to the old Charlie Daniels house where he grew up.
Right, right.
It was totally overgrown. Interesting way of sort of looking at the past.
Yeah.
Interesting that the house hasn't sold and become somebody's prized property.
I know it. It is. I wish somebody would restore it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But Russell lived right down the street from him there, so they sort of grew up together.
I've also noticed that you've extended your... You used to be just Monday nights that you did a jam session for anybody that wanted to show up, and it's totally free. Just come listen to you and several other musicians playing. But you've extended that to Sundays as well now?
Well, some of us get together on Sunday afternoon.
Okay.
Yeah. The crowd's a little smaller on Sunday.
Ah, okay. Yeah. So if I want the smaller crowd, that's when I need to come. Okay. I need to get back on stage with you and do some storytelling.
Yes, you do.
I like the way you back me up on that. We did a scenario together that we actually recorded on the old WCOM called Lizard Lick.
Right.
And I've had quite a few friends enjoy that, and it's actually on YouTube as well, where you can see me reciting Lizard Lick in my chef's attire. I was imposed upon by the mayor of Lizard Lick himself to do it.
Good job.
Thanks.
Ronnie, is there anyone in the business that really impresses you or made a strong impression on you over the years?
Well, quite a few. Like you say, Flatt and Scruggs and the Osborne Brothers. I think they were my main influence.
Bill Monroe?
Oh, of course. Yes. He's got to be in the picture.
Well, you know, we had Ricky Skaggs here at the Art Center maybe 15 years ago, I think it was. And I saw Ricky Skaggs here, and he had a terrific show. And I think he said he was with, I can't remember her name. She's a big country star. She was a huge star. Can't think of her name.
Maybe Patti Loveless?
No, it wasn't Patti Loveless. It wasn't
Tammy Wynette or somebody, was it?
She went to school in Greensboro.
Emmylou Harris.
Oh, love
UNCG.
Her.
UNCG.
Right. Emmylou was here about 20 years ago, and she was saying that Ricky Skaggs was in her band when he first got started.
Yep.
There's so many connections in this.
After
business.
He left Ralph Stanley, he went and joined Emmylou's band.
Ronnie, after hearing you, you and I have never met until an hour ago this morning, and you gave me a copy of your CD, and I heard it, and I can tell you, I think you could play with anybody. Really, you could be in anybody's band.
Well,
he's that good.
So you folks can actually plan on hearing some of Ronnie's music on Rocco's show on Saturday.
I will play it on Saturday.
Hey, and if you give me one, I'll play it on mine.
I think he's ready for you. You better sign that first
you
before you
hand
that
over.
You
better sign it first, though. I have to have it.
That's it. We want legends in writing.
That's right.
Thank you.
So I want to give Becky a quick shot here. Becky is interviewing some bluegrass aficionados coming up very shortly, and we're going to play a tune from a CD that you want to use to promote that. Give us the scoop.
Thank you, Claudia. We have coming in tomorrow to the studio during my show from 2 to 4, Mr. Tony Williamson, one of the greatest mandolin pickers ever. Yeah. He is the owner and operator of Mandolin Central in Chatham County.
Interesting.
And he has been around and around and some, and he's fabulous. He and his brother are going to be here at the Arts Center on the 18th of April. They're having a brand new album, and it's going to be their release party, be here
Fantastic.
At the Arts Center.
Well, that's certainly yeah. something to rave about.
Really looking forward to that.
And that's happening tomorrow on Mrs. Bluegrass, you said at 2?
Yes, I'll be interviewing Tony Williamson. My show airs from 2 to 4, and I'm not sure when he'll be in, but sometime between 2 to 4.
Just catch the show.
Yeah, and then the 18th will be here at the Arts
and
Center.
And what are we about to listen to?
Well, a very appropriate song. This is my story of my life. I live in the past.
Oh, boy.
From the Arts Center in Carrboro, it's Claudio Speakeasy and Radio Theater. Heard at 103.5 FM and also online at WCOMFM.org.
Around you. One in four kids in the U.S. faces hunger. It's not always easy to see the signs, but in this land of plenty, there are kids who don't know where they'll get their next meal. Join Share Our Strength and take the pledge to end childhood hunger here in America by 2015. Learn how at nokidhungry.org. Their next meal could come from you.
And we're still in the studio with Ronnie Brown. Ronnie, you want to tell us a little bit about that tune?
That was not mine.
No, that one. Oh, no, what am I saying? Wait, did I get it backwards?
We're just making sure you're paying attention.
We're having a Claudio moment.
I did like it.
Yeah. You give us a scoop on that, Becky.
Well, okay, I shall.
Since I just totally bit the apple.
That was very good, though. You did it in such a nice way. So much confidence.
That's what happens when you're scatterbrained.
I understand. Well, you're in good company. But this was a song by the Williamson brothers, Tony and Gary, and I believe this is their first release together, and it's called Bluegrass, the Williamson brothers. And hopefully we'll be having Tony here tomorrow for an interview during my show, The Bluegrass Breakdown, sometime between 2 and 4 tomorrow, and 18th of April. Come here to the Arts Center, 8 o'clock showtime, and help celebrate their new CD release and their CD release party.
That's what it's all about. You know it's going to be fun. So tune
in. You know it's going to be fun. I've really enjoyed meeting this man today.
He's a fun guy to know.
Thanks.
Sweet.
Nice thing is he lives just down the road. Well, not lives down the road from, but his business where he spends most of his time is just down the road from me.
Right.
It's nice to have a cave to go entertain in. How long has BMF Tool and Die been around? Describe that building that it's in.
Well, it's a metal building. It's 40 by 100. The machine's in the front. The music's in the back.
Performance space in the back. And you can see two different worlds right there coexisting.
Got microphones, monitors.
If ever there were two worlds that couldn't be played at the same time, that's it.
I wonder if they can be done at the same time.
Boy, that'd be a whole new taste on heavy metal.
I might even buy it.
So what song are we going to? We're going to do another Ronnie Brown tune. What is our next title piece there, Ronnie?
I believe it's Catfish John.
I think you may be right. Just checking on that. And then we'll touch base and talk about Catfish John while I get my act together.
And the time of long ago, where the sweet magnolias blossom, cotton fields as white as snow, Catfish John, river hobo, lived and died. Spoken anger.
You're listening to Claudio Speakeasy in Radio Theater, and we hope you're having a good morning. Stay tuned to us. We're 103.5 FM WCOM. We're with you 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. Community radio for Carrboro and Chapel Hill. Now back to Claudio.
Just want to give a quick plug for the Apex Farmers Market that just opened this last Saturday. I'm the official chef for it, so come and check us out downtown every Saturday, downtown Apex, right next to the fire station. Also want to mention my underwriter, the Apex Arts Council. And we're going to get right back to bluegrass here. I happened to eavesdrop on a conversation that you, Becky, and Ronnie were having, and you mentioned some interesting bluegrass details. I'm going to let you go into it.
Okay, well, remind me what we were talking about, and then we'll go into it.
Remind me to remember not
yes,
to forget.
Yes, exactly.
I'm having that moment
Didn't
all day.
Did you say that?
I did.
About J.D. Crow, Dale McCoy.
Oh, yes.
There we go. Here,
okay, it's all I need.
It's all coming back to me now.
It's all coming back in a blur. There's a wonderful new supergroup that's out called the Masters of Bluegrass. They are doing limited engagements this summer. They're going to be at the Red, White, and Blue Bluegrass Festival here in North Carolina on July, around 4th of July weekend.
And you say they're new. What impresses
you
about them?
They're new because they're old.
Are we living in the past again?
Well, yes. But here are all these great guys. Dale McCurry on guitar, brother Jerry McCurry on upright bass. And they used to be together, and Dale McCurry and the Dixie Pals back in the 60s. But now they've joined up together with J.D. Crow on banjo, Bobby Hicks on fiddle, and Dale, and we have there now, and Bobby Osborne on the mandolin.
Wow.
Masters of Bluegrass.
Right. Wow, what a collection, what a gathering of souls.
Yes, and I think they are putting out an album as well, so.
I would hope, because.
I would too.
Be a one-time treat.
Yep. The mob.
So let's go back. Thank you for giving us that scoop there. Let's go back to Ronnie Brown. Anything we haven't touched on yet, Ronnie? I forgot my head on my shoulder side, but I figured I better make sure that. Oh, give us your contact information and information about the Monday night jams and so on.
Well, you can email us, Tool and Die, TOOLANDDIE, at windstream.net.
That'll be, you don't have a website of any kind, do you?
No, not yet.
Is there anything about you on YouTube or any place where people can access and get a visual taste of what's going on?
No, not at this time. No.
Okay.
No.
But
not yet.
Give
not
us a scoop.
Yet.
Give us a scoop on the Monday nights. And hey, give us. Has anything really unusual ever happened while you were doing your jam session? Like somebody famous walked in on you?
Well, not real famous.
More like part of the band. Yes. Still, but they make up the sound.
But we play from 7 to 9, a couple of hours on Monday night. Anybody that wants to come. And,
usually every seat in the house is taken, so come early.
Yeah, we have some that's been playing for years and some that are beginners. So it works out.
What's the street number there?
2901 Broadway Road.
Broadway Road.
Ronnie, on the CD that you gave all of us, who is Uncle Vernon? You have a picture of him.
Uncle Vernon is my grandmother's brother.
And he's sitting by a liquor still and looks like he ain't going to let you get close.
He retired from the Army. He was a policeman for 16 years, and then he moved down here and started making whiskey.
Have you saved any of that vintage?
But he had just a small outfit. Mostly he drank what he made.
It's a great picture. I mean, it definitely looks like you know
really
somebody.
Is. Really is.
That's been a conversation piece more than once, that picture. And it's on the back of his album.
Now, Claudio and Ronnie, you have this cut 9, circled and underlined the song Simon Crutchfield.
I think it's one of your favorite songs that you sang.
It is my favorite, yes.
And we haven't played it yet.
No.
Well, we best do it because we're down to 5 minutes.
Okay.
So one more Ronnie Brown coming at you, folks. Thank you for tuning us in.
Community radio for Chapel Hill and Carrboro, WCOM.
Crutchfield.
field and his friend. Mary was his pretty wife, and they loved every breath of life before they took old Riley Harper in. Simon plowed and worked the fields, and Mary cooked their meals. Riley kept an eye out on the place, and no one knew just when this episode came to an end. They only knew of Simon Crutchfield's grave. Mary Crutchfield, you should be ashamed. Get on your knees and pray your soul be saved. Riley Harper, if the devil is to blame, why can't you drive by Simon Crutchfield's grave? A blizzard came across the moor, and all the crops were sold out, none were saved. And the only way to get to town was a wagon road that wound around through the woods by Simon Crutchfield's grave. Now some folks say that they laid there at least 6 months or more, or an old fur trapper found their bones. He claimed they wrote their epitaph upon the cabin door, just as it reads today on marble stone. Mary Crutchfield, here lies Mary Crutchfield. She betrayed the love that Simon gave. Riley Harper, here lies Riley Harper, 'cause he couldn't drive by Simon Crutchfield's grave.
Ronnie Brown, once again. Give us the title of that one more time. That was beautiful.
Simon Crutchfield's Grave.
And one of your favorites, if not your favorite tune.
One of my favorites, yes.
That's really good stuff. Well, at this point, it's coming time to wrap up the show, so I have a responsibility to thank everybody that's in here. That includes Becky. Becky, thank you for joining us. I'm really glad you showed up.
Claudia, thank you so much. It's been an honor to be here.
My pleasure. And folks, remember to tune in to her show on Wednesdays from 2 to 4.
Bluegrass Breakdown.
And don't be surprised if Ronnie Brown ends up showing up on her show and on Rocco's show and wherever else. I'm trying to get this guy some good exposure, and they're definitely going to play his music. So.
Thank you. Thank you, Pat.
I'll play it tomorrow.
Catch it when you can.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Rocco, thank you for being the amazing co-host that you are.
Claudio, it's always a pleasure. We always have so much fun.
We do. And everybody out there listening, you're the deal. Thanks for tuning us in. You keep us tuned in, and we'll keep you turned on. Cheers.